Join us this week on Android App Addicts, where Dor has thick glasses, brah. Ivor gives a public service announcement, and Josh challenges Ivor to cricket, and also find out what it means to knuckle tap.
Hey, Podnutians, welcome to Android App Addicts, episode number 551. This episode is brought to you by Tom Zach, longtime Patreon guy, started all the way back in 2016. Thank you very much, Tom. Your support was always welcome, and I definitely thank you for all the support. If you would like to support this show directly, you can go to patreon.com/AndroidAppAddicts and become a direct supporter of the show. This is a show where we strive and try to not be inundated with ads, which means we definitely appreciate when people step up and support us. This is a show all about Android apps, Android hardware, Android ecosystems, mobile computing, and anything else that honestly we think is interesting. This week, joined by Ivor and by Josh. How's everything going, Ivor?
Fantastic, Dor. I'm especially pleased now I've got my new keyboard.
And that is...
That just arrived yesterday.
Quite a bright keyboard.
Trying it out. For those of you who haven't got video, it's Aquamarine, I think is what they call it. And it comes with a matching mouse.
Okay, well, the obvious question is, why?
Well, I'm trying to get in touch with my feminine side.
Ah, you found it. It's right there. So is it like supposed to be quiet or cheap or long-lasting or...
No, just cheap and nasty. It's all plastic. Cost me $20. But it works. It works. It's quiet.
That's good.
So there is that. I'm happy with it.
Very cool. How is everything going with you, Josh?
I am doing well. Thank you, Dor. Living the life.
Wow, that
living the dream.
I was going to say, you just like stopped the conversation right there. That was awesome.
That's usually my go-to move. See? Did it again.
If you say so, yes. Yeah. Well, the first thing I gotta say in terms of hardware, absolutely nothing I see is even remotely close to new. I will say I did misspeak when I said if you wanted to check your device for vulnerabilities, if it was a set-top box and ADP being open on port 5555, that is not SSH. If you do want to know how to test that, just send an email in aaa@podnuts.com. I will do a quick video showing you how to test that port being opened. If nobody sends me any email, I'm going to just take for granted you went on a thing called the Google and just, you know, search for yourself. The other, like, I'll say this, the, like, elephant in the room news that I think is worth at least discussing because it is not worldwide yet. And, you know, two-thirds of this crew is not U.S.-based, is that Google Play Pass got launched today. I will say, in the what I consider to be the normal news, the straight people's news, not the nerd news, they actually talked about it. And most of the people said that Google was one-upping Apple and their Game Pass, because what was being offered on the Google Play Store was, instead of just games, but applications and, you know, tools, and they were being more clear about who was going to make how much money off of the Play Pass and how the money would be divvy up, where in typical Apple fashion, they tell nobody nothing except we're going to take your money. I literally just signed up for it today. It's basically a free trial is what I got in the very beginning. We'll see how long I'm going to stick with it. But honestly, I think for this show, I don't have a choice. I have to stick with it.
Did you get the $1.99 a month for a year deal?
I believe I do, but it's first I just sign up for a free month, free trial, and then after that, it's $1.99 for the entire, each month for the entire year, which I will say this, that's how you hook them. I mean, they've taken a lot of like tips and treats from drug dealers is what I'll say, where like, you know, you first get people hooked by offering them something that they just can't refuse, you know. That price for like unlimited games and applications is really, really good. Now I'll say I just skimmed through the apps really, really quick because the games I don't care about, but they're games. But one of the first apps that caught my eye was the kind of app where if you get in on a free month and then they take it off the free month, you will pay for it because it's a password management tool. I've never heard of it before. Password Manager Safe in Cloud, all one word, Pro. I've never heard of the thing. I really hope Google, somebody at Google did their due diligence and actually know the security behind this thing and trust that it's actually safe and secure and they do best practices and everything else. Because to push password managers in 2019 towards people, in my opinion, you better be pretty damn confident that it's going to do the right thing.
Is this a Google product?
No.
Is this a Google thing?
No. No, it's by Safe in, whatever I just said, Safe in, Safe in Cloud. Never heard of them.
Anybody who call themselves Safe in Cloud doesn't really know what they're talking about.
So are they flashing ads to you on the Google Pass store?
No. What you do to access it, you basically just open up your Google Play app on your mobile device or tablet, hit the hamburger menu top left, and right there you should see Play Pass right in the list.
As far as like this password manager, because for one, it's only available in the US, so I don't have the option to go up to the hamburger menu. And for two, I'm just wondering, you said that it wasn't a Google product, this password manager. So are they showing ads, or is it like an editor's choice type of app? Or
No, I mean, it's basically an app that normally costs $7.99. Now, when I go look at the app in the Play Store, when you're logged in, you see an extra message saying in enjoy this app for free, plus many more free of ads and in-app purchases with your Play Pass subscription.
Oh, so that's an app recommendation. They gave you a free app to try out.
It is exactly like opening up your Google Play and going to games or going to books. It's just a different like tab in my Google App Store called Play Pass, and it's basically showing me everything I'm getting, quote-unquote, for free when I'm obviously paying every month, so it's not for free, but everything I'm getting with my subscription.
Speaking of subscriptions, I had a LastPass subscription for quite a few years, I think, and I was recently been trying out 1Password, and I thought this is much better than LastPass. So I went to cancel my LastPass subscription, and I had it set for like 3 days before the subscription expired so I could cancel it and not have it the payment roll over. But the bastards rolled over the payment a week and a half before the subscription was due to expire. And then I looked and I couldn't get a refund because if you cancel your subscription, they just let your subscription carry on. They won't give you a refund and they just let it run out after a year. So I've got another year of LastPass and I've got a 1Password subscription as well. So if anybody wants a LastPass subscription, let me know.
Does it come with your passwords? I'll take it.
No, I'll take that out. Yeah.
Well, I'll say that's why I did not renew my LastPass because I looked very carefully before I hit renew and it forced me to auto-renew, have that checked, and I couldn't change it.
Yeah, the auto-renew.
And they said, just do it. And then after you do it, go back and uncheck auto-renew. And I'm like, no, screw you. Yeah. You give me a choice up front to not auto-renew. Then you're going to get my money. Until then, I'm canceling my subscription, period. Because of that. Because, you know, you think you have time. And that's the classic trap. You think you have time. And then, oh, they already charged me.
Oh, yeah. You'll think you'll remember.
Yep.
Right.
But they charged me a week early. Like, they didn't tell me when the payment was going to come out.
No.
And I, you know, ugh. So that was frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, I really honestly don't. I don't want to say I don't trust any password managers, but it's going to be difficult for me to trust any of them moving forward. If they don't use the clipboard on a desktop and a mobile, I feel a billion times better. But I was like explaining to my kid, we were walking through the grocery store, and I tried to explain to him, you can't use the word cheap. Because if I just say to you, look at that, that's cheap. You have no idea if I mean, look at that, that is really affordable, or look at that, that is crap. Because the same word means multiple things. The English language needs about a billion more words, but then it'll be too confusing. So like when people say security or trust, no. Whenever they say one of those words involving computers, it should come with a billion lines of caveats and further descriptions. Because for a password manager to be secure, A, it's only temporary, and B, secure against what? Because if I'm targeted enough, I'm pretty sure they're going to get my information. So, you know, it isn't quote unquote secure. It's kind of secure or pretty secure or gosh darn it secure, but, you know, it isn't actual secure.
Well, I'm very impressed with 1Password. Does a much better job, I think, than LastPass ever did. So I'm happy to give them my money.
Yeah, I'll say on Android, LastPass has not been smooth
terrible.
For like 3 years.
It's terrible. When change, go to 1Password.
I got a new phone. If we're in the hardware section.
Sure, yeah.
And thank you for recommendations via emails. I ended up biting the bullet, which, thinking about it, I'm not really sure what that term actually means. It doesn't sound very, very good, but I did bite the bullet and got a Huawei P30 Pro. And the only reason I brought that up is that I've actually had a much better experience with LastPass on it than I did with the Pixel.
Oh, so okay. That's strange for a Huawei phone because they've got quite serious battery saving permissions. They'll cut anything out. They'll shut anything down that's running.
Well, it asked me to log into LastPass, but then that's just a fingerprint. And so it's not, I mean, it's better than I had going on with the Pixel. It's still not fantastic, but I've actually been able to log into different things using it. So that is a plus. But the battery life on this thing is pretty spectacular. Well, that might be overselling it a bit, but I can go a couple days, it seems, without even charging it. So it's nice.
I had the same with my Mate 20 Pro. I could go 2 days without charging it, probably even 2.5, and it would charge like in 10 nice. Minutes. Have you got the 45 watt charger?
Yeah.
Supercharger? Yeah. That really charges.
I also bought a Qi charger too. So that was working okay, but then I got a case for it, which isn't, you know, it's an all-around case, but it doesn't really, you really have to find the sweet spot on that wireless charger in order for it to do anything.
Mm.
So, I don't know, it seems a bit useless at this point.
I got one of these.
Oh, nice.
Stands up, so there's two charging sensors in there, and it has a fan on the back, keeps it cool, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, see, I'm pretty sure it's still technically impossible for wireless charging to be even remotely close to as fast as physical charging. The only place I think it makes, I don't want to say it makes sense, the only way, one of the places it really fits, in my opinion, is if you have a custom mount in a car where you know when you put the phone in that mount and you lock it in place that it does perfectly line up with the Qi antennas. Because to me, it's like, when I was a kid, taking off my glasses to burn insects and trash cans because I had some thick glasses, brah. It's all about that touch. There was a billion ways for me to not have my glasses right to cause any heat. But if I hit that spot, that heat would be ridiculous and literally cause things to erupt in flames. Same thing with that, like, Qi. If you don't have it just right, it's almost like you might as well not even have it on the stand.
Well, it's actually quite important that you get it right because your phone can overheat if you don't have it in the right place, and it can be quite dangerous. So new hardware, I've got this. Just arrived the other day as well. It's an in-car charger, wireless charger. So this is a wireless charging pad there. Sticks on the window. Or there's an attachment for the fan that fits in the air conditioner. The phone goes in there, and it charges while you're driving. So,
right, and that was one thing that Rob just said in the chat about. He doesn't like the idea of doing wireless charging in the car because the heat it can bring up.
Yeah, that's the other thing. My phone gets very hot when it's in its cradle on the dashboard because it's a bit of a sun trap at the front of the window, and it can get very hot.
Gotcha, yeah. And I like the idea of having it right by your AC vent, which I will say I did have a mount that in my old van where it was literally up against the vent. The problem was half a year that was great. Because it was getting AC. Of course, I was getting less of it, so I was a little jealous. But then the other half of the year, it was getting heat, which was not good.
Yeah, that's the other side of it, isn't it?
It's too bad that doesn't have wireless charging and a spot for your dashboard cam. Yeah.
This one? No, it does.
No, but and then a spot for your dashboard cam as well. Like you could have it doing...
Oh, right. Yeah. Have it a dashboard cam on top. But I use my phone for that anyway. My phone is my dashboard cam.
Yeah, every mount I had like that, I could never get the angle in my car just right for it to actually see the street appropriately. It always had funky angles.
Or you get it right and you can't see the screen of the phone. So,
yeah. Right. Yeah. Here was a link. I'll put a link here in the chat. And the main reason I'm bringing this link was because this seemed like it was, dare I say, quote unquote, closer to home, especially for you, Ivor, is what I'll say. It is the Australian government is putting together like a proposal for AI-enabled cameras to be pointing at the roads to catch people playing with their phones while driving and sending them bills, sending them fines. I have very mixed feelings about this. You know, part of me loves the idea of, because I really do not like when I'm driving down the road and I turn and somebody's driving stupidly and I see them literally holding a phone up to their face while they're driving, even though for years we've had a no hands law here where I can't believe they haven't gotten pulled over and gotten a ticket. I really can't believe it. We have speed cameras. We have red light cameras. I don't like either one of them because, you know, once in a while I kind of speed and once in a while I kind of, you know, might be a little late on the red light kind of thing. But I am not liking the idea of using a phone while I drive. And I will say when I get in the car, sometimes my Android Auto doesn't get picked up right and I got to reboot my phone. Then I got to type in my password. So I'm not completely innocent. I do once in a while play with my phone, but it's literally just for like the first couple feet leave my house. But I don't like the idea of losing privacy, but I do like the idea of finding people who are blatantly breaking the law.
Okay, first of all, if you need to use your phone in your car, pull over. That's just what you do. You can't use your phone and drive at the same time. It's impossible. Even women can't do it, and they're experts at multitasking. Secondly, this is Australian. Whatever happens in Australia is going to happen in New Zealand as well, a couple of months later. So, great, we're going to get a law which says we're going to get all these bloody cameras checking people aren't talking on their cell phone. Third point, people who have had motor accidents while on their cell phone is infinitesimally small compared to the number of people who get killed while drunk. So, are we going to now fit all cars with sensors to see whether the people are drunk before they can start their car up? And lastly, we have a law in this country which says you're not allowed to smoke while your children are in the car. So are we going to now be using these cameras to see if people have cigarettes in their mouths while there are children in the back seat?
Even though it might not be a child, it might be a doll or something.
Exactly. We're turning into China. This is China.
Well,
all over.
They're coming at it from one point. And I think the free, in air quote, worlds are coming at it from another point, and they are converging in some way. If we do have artificial intelligence, in air quotes, because it's not artificial intelligence, there's actually no intelligence. It's called pattern recognition is what it is. If they are doing pattern recognition on an automatic basis to identify people using their phone in a car, then yes, where can it, will it stop? I don't know.
Well, what happens when automated driving comes in? We've got self-driving cars. You still won't be able to use a phone while your car is driving you somewhere? You're not driving the car. Why couldn't you?
I don't know, but I expect when there's true full automated cars, we're also going to have completely blacked out windows, or else people will die from heart attacks much more frequently.
It's just, you know, the government getting more, and it's a solution looking for a problem. The government's just trying to find an excuse to get more and more involved in controlling people's lives.
Well, that, and they love free money.
Yeah, free money. It's probably just a revenue grab. Well, speeding's not getting us enough money now. Let's use the cameras to see if people are using their cell phones and fine them $1,000.
Right, both that, and they don't have to put any money in. They have a third-party company invest in the cameras.
Mm, yeah, exactly. They've got all the infrastructure there.
Well, Josh, do you think this is the kind of thing that could make its way to Canada?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Or are you guys too concerned about makeup still?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's a can of worms. Yeah, I mean, it's a socialist country, Dor. We're up for anything.
Okay, if you say so. Just a quick mention report. That's it. Huawei did release their Mate 30 Pro, Mate 30 series, and they did basically come out and say that the bootloader will be easy to unlock, allowing it easier for Google apps to be installed. We still, I don't think, know how that's going to happen. But that was one of the questions, was how are they going to get these things installed? And if the bootloader's unlocked, it'll be much easier to get Google Play services installed.
I saw a couple of articles after that saying that the bootloader, Huawei has confirmed that the bootloader will not be unlocked now. They first came out and said it won't be unlocked, then they said it will be unlocked, and now they've said it won't be unlocked again. So they're kind of flip-flopping a bit, and it's really unclear as to whether it will or won't.
I hope they know. I'll say that.
Yeah, you'd think so.
Well, and I will say one of the things I saw that was in confusion was when they say Mate 30, they actually mean, I want to say it's around four or five different types of phones. So maybe one of them is, not all of them will, or something to that effect. Because if it's not unlocked, I'm going to say very easily, it's going to be quite hard to put on the Google Play services without some serious like mojo going on. We're going to stick with.
It's a seriously underwhelming phone, though, in terms of its camera. The P30 cameras are better. Yeah. It doesn't have the Google services. You have to go through the rigmarole of trying to install those yourselves if they work.
If you want that.
It's expensive. There's no price reduction to account for the lack of Google services. I have to say, it's not a tempting proposition for me.
Speaking of cameras and P30 cameras, do you guys have any suggestions on a... like a tripod, because this thing zooms into 50 times, and it's not happening with my shaky hands.
No, well, you should never hold any camera just in your hands and expect to have a good picture, period. You should always lean the phone against something solid, a door, a table, something. Now you move your head to something that's in the world implanted. What I've seen a lot of, like... people used to do back in the day is basically just take one long string or rope, put one end under each foot, hold the camera up taut, and that would be basically your mobile tripod. Because all you're looking for is something to push against or on to where, you know, you won't move it a lot.
I've got one of these. It's really good.
Does it have a little clamp? Does it have a little clamp for the...
Yep, it's got a little clamp at the top. Yeah, you can put a clamp for your phone on the top. And it's bendy legs. They stay in position. You can wrap it around a pole. Good for taking out with you if you need to make still shots from the outside. Costs about $5 or $10.
What Ivor's showing here is a flexible, small tripod. Everyone's seen them with the little connected balls.
Not all of my balls are connected anymore, I'm afraid.
All right, Dora, that's your cue.
Okay. The next thing I just want to bring up is another just quickie off-comment kind of thing. Huawei has actually said publicly that they entertain the idea of basically selling off every single 5G patent they have, and at least selling off their services for anyone who wants to use the 5G patent, just to show good faith that they, that there's nothing to hide. But here's the way I look at it. That takes a lot of guts to me, if they would actually follow through with, for a company to say, we're willing to basically sell off the thing, the one thing that we basically own in lockdown and can make billions of dollars off of for the next 10 years. We're so confident that we can innovate in so many other ways that we will sell this off. We will almost give it away for a nominal fee kind of thing. When they could do the exact opposite in American capitalist eyes, which is hold it up against everyone's throat like a razor blade, insisting that they pay you maximum money.
So is this licensing fees then? Is that what it's all about?
Well, they said two different statements. One of them, they said they are willing to basically sell them off completely, period. We will sell off every 5G patent we have, period. The second statement was, we will, for a nominal fee, work with anyone who wants to know anything about any of our 5G patents, which to me is honestly... it's nothing but words. It's nothing but a statement. There's no follow through. No one's taken their offer. So they might, pull back at the last second kind of thing. But for them just to say it is enough to at least catch my attention of, that takes a little bit of guts to even say.
Well, it also might just be a PR ploy as well.
If it is, then touche, because that's a really good move.
Almost as good a move as getting your CEO arrested in Vancouver.
Oh, yeah. CEO slash CFO, slash daughter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I heard of a great new job title, CXO, Chief Experience Officer. If that's not the easiest damn job I've ever heard in my life, I don't know what is. Seriously, that's crazy.
Does it involve LSD?
It just involves telling people what they're supposed to think as they use your stuff. And telling your people what people are supposed to feel when they use your stuff. Here's another quickie I'll say. And that is Cam Scanner was one of the apps, I will say, that we did bring to this show 4 years ago, maybe 6 years ago. And they basically had a boo-boo in their ecosystem, as I'm going to say. They were using a tool and add-on in their software that turned out to be something that no one should be using. They got basically taken off the Google Play Store. And I will say, like a good, proper, competent company, less than 24 hours later, they fixed the issue, resubmitted. Less than 10 hours later, they were back on the Play Store. To which me, wanting to show them support, I immediately re-downloaded the app. It carried over my purchases, and I immediately took some pictures and took some scans. And in that day, literally, I had three different people ask me what's the best way to get documents into your phone in an edible fashion. All three of them, I said, Cam Scanner, here's a link, go get it. Because if there's ever a time an application is going to be safe, it's right after they fix a data breach. You know, like if Target gets hacked and credit cards get stolen, the safest time to go to Target is like a week after that. Because I guarantee it ain't going to get hacked then.
Remember ES File Explorer?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. So that a similar thing happened to them. Oh, they were actually quite a good
organization. They didn't fix anything.
No, they didn't. They kept going.
Yeah, they got worse.
And I think, yeah. And, well, their problem was they got taken over by a different company that just didn't care. And I think the same thing happened to Cam Scanner. They got taken over by a different company that wanted to up the ad revenue and put this piece of malware in there. And they've done the right thing, but if it happened once, it can happen again. And, you know, you lose a lot of, I think in this market, you lose a lot of credibility if this sort of thing happens more than once.
Well, I'll say this. I don't think it's going to happen twice or three times, because by the time that would happen, I would think Google would literally take this functionality and bake it into their operating system.
Yeah, and there are plenty of other apps that do it as well. Adobe does a great app that does the same thing. Evernote is a really good one. And Office Lens from Microsoft, and then again, another great product. So they've got stiff competition in that area, especially if they're charging.
You can always take it to the Huawei platform.
Ugh. Yeah, Huawei basically did also announce about open sourcing its software ecosystem, and they said they were going to devote, I want to say it was in the next 5 years, $1.5 billion, basically paying people, paying developers to submit stuff to the ecosystem and to support it and try to make their system better is what I'm going to say. I actually heard at least one other podcast say this could turn out to be the worst thing to happen to Google in the last 10 years. Google needs to work with the U.S. government right now and get every single embargo and tariff and restriction lifted as soon as possible, or else American companies will start to suffer greatly. Because every month that they have to work on their own operating system is an entire month the largest country in the world is ignoring Google and stuff.
If Huawei does open source their operating system, are they going to consult with Richard Stallman?
I hope not.
I get a medium and talk to Jeffrey Epstein as well.
Yeah, I'll just say I'm really happy about Richard Stallman that now the rest of the world, I think, understands what we Linux people have been putting up with for years and years and years and years and years and years. Anybody who looked at him and said, you know, that guy's a little off. Well, now we got confirmation. Oh, yeah, he's off.
Way off.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if we have, I have any more like non. Oh, yeah, I have one more stupid off the wall topic I just got to bring up. And that's because imitation is the fondest form of flattery. I do believe that's a real thing. Razer has made like two or three moderately successful gaming devices. They haven't reached, you know, any kind of crazy critical numbers, but they had good moderate success on their gaming devices, not laptops, not, you know, full desktop computers, but other devices. Here's an example where they're basically mimicking blatantly the Nintendo Switch And this, at least, website, Nintendo Life, which is an actually popular website, it basically says that Razer's new gaming tablet is one of the most blatant clones yet of the Switch. And by looking at it, I will say, yes, it is. If they do stuff right, and I have to put this caveat in there, they will have an insane number of games pretty easy to run and play on this device with no extra work, and that is by utilizing the Android ecosystem and games that support Bluetooth controller support, because typically these controls present themselves to the Android operating system as a Bluetooth gamepad. So it actually could be really crazy usable, but I do think that the price was kind of ridiculous, if I remember.
Wasn't Nintendo Life a magazine back in the day?
I'm not going to say no, but I will say it sounds like it.
I think I remember. Anyway, I think that I remember that it had cheat codes and everything else.
Yeah, I will say I am still like a ridiculous fan of my Switch. I think it's by far the best handheld gaming experience I've ever had, period, bar none.
It's also a pretty good streaming device, isn't it?
Well, I mean, it only has, I believe, Hulu and YouTube is what I'll say. It's fine, you know? I mean, it's when it comes to those things, it either works or it doesn't. To me, it's hard to be great. It just works or it doesn't, and it works. I'm more of a fan of the classic gaming that I can do on it.
I would like to bring an email if I could, Dor.
Oh, yeah, sure.
This is an email from Aaron, and it says, for the Canadian listeners, maybe the U.S. too, not sure, there's an alternative to the Flip app called Rebi. It is developed by a Canadian company here in Ontario, has similar features to Flip, but has a few more local stores, from my experience, and I find the UI to be a bit nicer, and there's a link that we'll put in the show notes. Another app that has popped up recently here is called Flash Food. Stores that participate post foods that are heavily discounted as they will soon be thrown out. This weekend, I saw steak marked down by 50%, and there's a link for that as well. And then cheers from Aaron in Ontario. And I also want to thank Aaron for his email about my carrier issue I had the other week. And so that has been sorted. So thank you, Aaron. And like everyone else that's listening, you should come out and join the chat on Thursdays, Ontario time. I think that would be 9. Are they East Coast? I'm not sure. But 9, well, the only legitimate time zone, 6 o'clock Pacific Standard Time.
Yeah, I believe actually.
Legitimate time.
Yeah, Aaron is close to your time, right? Oh, no, he isn't.
Ontario's
no.
Over.
Yeah, that was Chuck Litchfield is close to your time.
Yeah, Chuck's in the same one, and that's a good segue. This is actually an email from Chuck. It says, howdy, gents. October is nearly here, and I just got the new Google Play Pass, and this is the first app I installed. Pretty sweet, eh? Thanks, Chuck. It will cast the images to my smart display and see image attached. And that is actually, I believe, Ivor, is that the app you brought a few weeks ago, the ISS Free?
No, my one was different. Mine was tracking all the. mine one was different. It was slightly different, but it is related. The one I bought shows details on upcoming space launches that are coming from Earth into orbit. The ISS satellite one is a live camera tracking from the International Space Station.
Yeah, so we'll put that in the note as well. And then he goes on to say, add this and the family share plan. I'm glad I have multiple devices to fill up with more apps. Is 128 gigs enough? Does this create more work for the show or just more content? To me, it's like we just had a Google dump truck back into our driveway and dump over 300 apps. I got a shovel and a wheelbarrow. Time to get to work. I'll try to send in an app each week. It's the least I can do. What did you find on the Play Pass? Keep at it, boys. Chuck Litchfield, Salem, Oregon. Hey, Chuck, thanks for the email. And Ivor and myself got 0 on Play Pass because we're not allowed to play with it.
Dirty foreigners.
Well, you could VPN in and, I don't know, fake a credit card number and
doesn't work. Still doesn't work.
Well, yeah, even if you VPN. You can. You just got to know how to VPN in. You can't VPN through, you know, a popular New York City VPN hosting thing. You got to VPN through, you know, like a house in Joppa Town, Maryland. Oh, sorry. I'll say this. I've been actually thinking a great deal about a couple things. First, I'll tangent. Google Stadia actually is going to be an insane success for one reason only. We've all seen the Google Graveyard page. Yes, I know this is tangent. We've seen the Google Graveyard page, right? Where it's miles and miles and miles long of things that Google's killed. The wild card question is, tell me one thing. Tell me one thing that Google has killed that was a paid service. Go ahead. You can come back next week because I want to hear what you come up with. Anybody, listener, or you guys, because I don't know of anything. So they're going to launch Stadia. It will be successful because it will have no choice to be successful because it has a $1 billion company shoving money at it. Two, this Google Play Pass service is going to be successful for one reason. Google is not liking the fact that people have a very small number of applications installed on each device. The average number person only has, I want to say it was like 3 apps installed and that's it. This is a cheap and affordable way for a parent to say to a kid, stop bugging me to buy games here. You get this. You can get whatever games you want, and it's going to introduce the idea of installing more apps, installing more apps, installing more apps. And that's what Google, I think, needs. Not only do they need eyeballs viewing web pages, they need people just installing applications. And I think this might be a good pathway for them to get that done. And no, Google Glass is an unbelievable success. They've sold well over 200,000 of them in the last couple of years. There was technically only a consumer version, I want to say, available for a short period of time, and it was only on like an invite basis, so it was nothing that I think you could just straight up buy. And they didn't kill it.
Yeah, I don't think they fully launched it. It never really fully got off the ground.
They gave it to what I would consider a bunch of D-E-E-B-A-G-S, I think is how it's spelled, but that's about it. You know, but like service-wise, I literally couldn't think of anything that they... you had to pay for and that they then killed. There was like 2 or 3 pieces of hardware, I will say. But it wasn't Google Glass was the ones that people were thinking of. But I could not find a single service that they actually kiboshed. Could be wrong. Might be wrong. I don't know. I heard that on, I want to say it was Chromecast, C-H-R-O-M-E-C-A-S-T, Chromecast podcast, where it's literally all about Chrome OS. Or it was Alphabet Scoop, which is another Google-centric podcast. I can't remember which one it was,
good one, eh?
But they're both good shows.
To that one too.
Wait, Ivor, do you have any apps?
Nope, I do. Actually, the first app I want to bring is not a Play Store app.
Huawei?
This one. no, this one is from XDA developers, and it's called Jinna App Drawer. And I might just see if I can share my screen with you.
Okay, well, what about it drew you to it?
Well, I was playing around with different launchers, and I was looking for something because I've been experimenting with a lot of different apps lately. So I wanted something that would help me manage all the apps that I have in my phone. So you get this drawer icon at the bottom, and it gives you like a billion options to manage all your apps. At the side here, you can view by the apps that were last updated, most used apps, look at the last ones that were installed. they've got size options. Down here, we've got tags. You can see a tag of apps by productivity tag or use.
And these are all tags you didn't have to enter in. It basically like looked at the app and downloaded a database, I'm going to guess.
Yeah, all done automatically. So there's a changing around. There's like a billion options for changing things around. And for organizing your apps, you can view by folders. You can move these folders off onto your desktop, onto the desktop of the phone. Or you can create shortcuts. You've got options for looking at the details of the phone, so of the app. So it shows you the app, gives you options to export the APK. So if I wanted to, I could export the APK here to a folder. I'm discovering new options that come with this app. It's got a slide out option here. So these are your most used apps. Most used down the bottom. And then it's got the favorites here. And there's another slide out from the other side, which allows you to view by by whatever category you like. So I really like it. It's allows you to really get down into the detail of what your drawer is doing, what your apps are doing.
You know that it is in the Play Store.
Is it? I didn't find it in
Door
the Play Store.
Door posted a link there in the chat.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, there you go. I found it on HDA first, but it obviously is in the Play Store now.
Well, I will say sometimes when apps are downloadable outside of the Play Store, you sometimes get enhanced versions or even newer versions. So, you know, it's worth downloading and trying. Sometimes the Google Play app will attempt to connect it and then enable you to get updates via the Play Store if it is, in fact, an older version. I got to say, this almost doesn't look like an app drawer. It almost looks like a super thin, light home screen. It has so many options and so many different ways to view. Yeah,
it's a bit like a launcher in its own right, really.
So, I mean, I guess it's not selectable as a home screen because, to be quite honest, what I saw, I think I'd be fine if that was my home screen.
No, you can't. Well, I don't know. You might be able to do that. I haven't discovered that option yet. Certainly there are lots of options for setting shortcuts and things like that. But not an option for a home screen yet.
Gotcha. I will say I am still, again, tangent, I am still using AIO Launcher as my home screen. Been using it now for like 3 or 4 weeks, and for some reason I'm perfectly content with using it and it seems fine. I swore I would use it for like a couple of days and then get sick of it and get rid of it.
Yeah, I was noticing that the app in the App Store was last updated 12th of October 2018.
Right, well, it's a question of they decided they don't need to update it anymore and it's just fine, or yeah, in XDA you're getting a newer version.
I think there is a new version.
Well, do me a favor. Since this is such a flexible thing, go to your app drawer, go to your Gina, hold down the app, go to details or information, and it should tell you a version that you have installed. Ooh, this version number is crazy in the Play Store.
Yeah, this shows that it looks like the last update was 2015 on the XDA developers is what it looks like.
Okay, so this is version 3.4.0GA1225.19090610051.
Well, if they're following normal standard conventions, that's a newer version because what's available in the Play Store is 3.2.2.
Okay, well, this one's 3.4.
Yeah, so technically yours should be a newer version unless they're using some kind of, like, new math, in air quotes. I don't know.
I love it.
It definitely looks clean.
Yeah, it's great. And it's a dark theme thing as well.
So. Oh, I'm sorry, yeah. But that sounded racist. I don't think we should use those words here. here's one I'm going to bring. It's along the same stuff is what I'm going to say. This is like a home screen thing, except it's for old people. Say, you can't say I'm ageist. I'm almost 50 myself. It's called Bald Phone, BaldPhone. But, you know, back in the day, bald modems, so I guess that's where it actually comes from. This, to be honest, I can see putting on my stepfather's phone tonight, to be honest. It is big, simple, and friendly. You can customize the screen for them. recent dialer, contact, messaging apps, assistants, a video library, photo library, alarm, camera, all that stuff, just immediate access right there. I will say I like the idea of installing this app on someone's phone and configuring it for them because most, I think, people have simple things they just want to get done with their device. They don't want to literally play with it like us. So I actually think this is a good idea. For some reason, it's not in the Play Store yet. It is available on GitHub. So all the code is available there. So yeah, I mean, it's interesting is what I'm going to say.
Yeah, it looks great. I know a lot of people would benefit from this.
Yeah, and I honestly just like the fact it's called Bald Phone. It's like, you know, taking pride in what they are.
That another joke about me, Dor?
No comment. Yeah, I just thought it was cool.
That is cool.
And it wasn't a game.
So does it? Does it act as a regular launcher?
Oh, yeah. It basically takes over the home button. Yeah, but actually, Josh, I'm sorry. I'm going to do two in a row just because I can. I actually did have an app in my queue that I explicitly brought just for you because it's a Canada thing, eh? I mean, that has to be good. This is called CBP, which does not stand for anything like marijuana or hemp-based. This is Craft Beer Passport by CBD is the name of the company. Craft Beer Passport, Inc. Under food and drink category, 96 reviews, E for everyone, completely free to download, completely free to install, 3.6 average reviews, updated May 23rd, 2018, 31 megs in size, 10,000 plus installs, current version 2.2.0, 5.0 Android and up. Permissions, I would say, are normal. Location, photo, storage, camera, there's a reason for that. This is basically by a company in Toronto, Ontario, Aaron, Bruce, you know, where you basically, you can go onto this app, buy what they call tickets. Okay. Depends on how many you buy. Technically, like I saw one, you could buy 10 tickets for 10 bucks. You walk into bars on the list. You basically show them your digital stamp that you buy, you know, 10 for 10 bucks. And then you get craft beer for $2, which in my experience, a craft beer in a place, a draft craft beer to you, and it is typically way more than $2 or $3. So it actually could be a really good cost savings. And like, I believe when you buy the right beers and you get like, badges, so you can basically, you know, have like a pride thing. If you really enjoy craft beers and you're in Ontario, I definitely encourage you to check this out. I definitely think it could be a lot of fun.
It says that they're working hard to expand their area as well, so that's good. And yes, $2 for beer, especially in British Columbia, you can't get the crappiest beer for $2, or for a toonie, if you will.
If you say so. Yeah, I just thought it was definitely interesting. I want to see more of these kind of things. I'm okay with prepaying for things that are not going to lose value quickly, and I know I will eventually use. Because with this kind of thing, I could literally buy 10 of these stamps, and it's over a year. You know, a beer here, a beer there, and I'm perfectly fine with it because I will be saving money.
Well, and it's on your phone. You're not carrying around some stupid card or something that you need to use to make the purchase.
Yeah, or some like weird chips or anything.
But speaking of beer, I know that when I was of university age, we had a propensity to drink OE40s every once in a while. Or, do you know what I'm referring to?
Old English.
Okay, yes. I wouldn't expect Ivor to know. But, and what was that? Those were maybe $2 for a 40 or $1.50, something like this.
They were around two and change, yeah.
I saw one at a liquor store up here, and I believe it was about $7 for a 40 of Old English malt liquor. Not only are you going to get sick, you're paying an arm and a leg for it.
Yeah, I mean, I can't look directly at OE. I can't look directly at Mad Dog 2020. I can't look directly at even like Blue Bull.
Steel yeah, Reserve.
Steel Reserve, Schlitz, National Bohemian. They're all horrible. Horrible. Okay, do you have any apps there, Josh?
Yes, I do have an app here. This one made me think of Ivor. Called Doofus Drop. And it's just a fun physics game based game where you can eventually upgrade your bicycle and some bean cans, and what you do is you tap to get your bicycle rolling as fast as you can, and then it launches down a hill. And you're trying to avoid forks and other things sticking out of the ground, which basically end your ride. And you're looking for bombs to give you jumping ability or just to blast you into the sky. You're collecting stars in order to buy things. And the only way that you can get out of predicaments where, you know, if you get yourself stuck in a little rut or something, you know, if you stop, you also, your ride is done. And so you have cans of beans. And when you use your can of beans, well, air comes out of a certain area of your basically head with feet. And that gives you a little propulsion to get unstuck
Yeah, the wonderful yes. fruit. Beans, the wonderful fruit.
So I found it quite... I played it a while ago. It was a lot of fun, actually.
Yeah, it says everyone 10 and up, and I can say I'm very positive my 11-year-old would laugh quite frequently at this.
I never watched the video.
It's a little bit crazy.
Yeah, it's... so, yeah, that's my app door.
Gotcha. Do you have any more apps here, Ivor?
Yeah, I've got a game as well. As everyone should know, it's World Cup season right now, and the USA had their first game last night against England, earned the first red card and sending off. So good on, go USA. Unfortunately, they lost quite heavily. They lost 7-1. But obviously, rugby is very important in my country, and the next important, most important sport is cricket. And the app I have, or the game I have, is called Stick Cricket Live. Chat. And basically, the thing about this app, the same maker does quite a lot of similar apps, but you basically take the role of a batsman or a bowler, and you play against another actual real live person who's controlling the other player. So if you choose to be a batsman, you play against someone who's choosing to be the bowler, and you get deliveries, and you basically have to tap the screen at the right times to hit the ball to score runs. And that's all cricket is about, really. And it can be a lot of fun and quite distracting. And if you like cricket, then this is the game for you, because it takes all the boring stuff out and just get straight to the action.
Are there tea breaks?
No, we don't have tea breaks or drink breaks.
Well, yeah, I do know it matters. There's different styles of cricket where there is games that literally take days.
Yeah, that's the proper version of cricket. So test cricket can take up to 6 days, where basically each team has to be bowled out twice in sport. So they continue playing until each team of 10 players is bowled out twice sides. So that's why it takes so long.
Gotcha. Cricket is a fantastic game, though.
Oh, it's fantastic, yeah.
I'm going to play this.
It does have ads and in-app purchases, and looks like maybe if you give them money, you can get rid of the ads?
Yes, I think that's how it works. You can pay some money to get rid of the ads. But honestly, I found the ads weren't that intrusive, so I didn't bother paying.
Gotcha. And that is one thing I really wish Google would tell you. Not just ads. Is it full screen, full motion video ads with sound? Or is it at the bottom of the screen when you pause or something, there's a little strip ad at the bottom? Because to me, not all ads are the same.
I think you can also do in-app purchases where you can buy better bats or better, stronger bowlers or something like that.
Is this only against other players, or can you play it solo as well?
I think there's an option to play it solo as well.
Okay.
There might be a way to play it solo, but you have to have a network connection to play, it says.
All right, Ivor, in front of the five people that are listening, I challenge thee to a match of cricket.
All right, you're on.
So it's not just random linking people up. You can actually pick.
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah, I think you can. Yes, we'll try it out and come back. Let you know next week.
Gotcha. Very cool. Okay, here is my next app, and I'm bringing the app partially because it's a good idea, partially because I want to know if I'm an idiot. Because you know, I could be an idiot.
Crickets.
To me, I know. To me, this is actually a very smart application. Let me first say that it's called Help SOS. Share your location when in danger by Leal Dev Tools. E for Everyone. Does contain ads, no in-app purchases, completely free to download. Updated September 16th, 2019, 4.8 megs in size, 10 plus installs, current version 1.0, requires 4.1 Android and up, content rating E for Everyone, permissions, location, SMS, and other, which is exactly what it needs, and that's it. Okay. What this is, it's an emergency application that people don't have to look at their device. If they feel like they're in danger, they can activate it, and it can send a predefined SMS message, including GPS location, to a set of individuals or an individual. So hypothetically, I'm walking back from the convenience store after buying my Monster, and I see Josh behind me, and he seems like he keeps walking a little bit faster than me. If I feel like my life's in danger, I can then hit what they call the lock button 3 times, and it can send a GPS coordinate to like my wife or my dad, telling them that, look, I think I'm in danger. It's a really smart
app. Am I carrying a malt liquor 40?
You have them taped to your hands.
Been there.
But who in the hell calls it a lock button? Seriously, do you call it a lock button?
No. I believe it's a power button.
Ivor, what do you call it? You muted?
Sorry, guys. I had to go away
for a minute. On the side of your phone, what do you call that button?
The power button.
That's what I said. I mentioned it in the reddit.com/r/androidapps where the dev posted this app. And I replied basically, what the hell is a lock button? You know, nobody calls it a lock button. If anything, it's a power button, because even if you look at it, sometimes there's a power icon on it because it's a power button. On the lock screen, there's sometimes a padlock that you can swipe to unlock your device. So when you say hit the lock button 3 times, some people are going to have no clue what you're talking about. And they said something basically nonsensical. Then I said, well, what part of the world are you from? Because I know where I'm at, we call it a power button kind of thing. Oh, well, that was totally unnecessary to say. So which I said, congratulations. Now you know I have no tact. So why don't you call it the right thing and call it a power button? Because that's what it is.
Really didn't know who they were dealing with.
Well, they're obviously idiot developers who believe they know everything. Because that's the one problem with developers that I know of. When they think they know stuff, they just won't listen to reason. They won't listen to anybody because they know. And that's the one caveat, I think, that comes with age. I listen to everybody. I don't know everything. But I know it's called a power button. Especially when I can actually look really, really close at my phone and the actual image on my case is of the power symbol, which is a universal symbol agreed upon by a multinational body. I want to say it was around 68. That was the official symbol for power, so we didn't have to translate it to multiple languages.
Did they?
But
what if you got confused with the Bixby button?
Then you are in lots of trouble.
Bixby, help me!
So I'll say this. If you have a child or a loved one that you genuinely worry about, seriously, help SOS share your low location when in danger is the name of the app. Help them download this app. Help them put it on their phone. Help them configure it for them and have them do a test send message to you to make sure they know how to use it right, because when they see lock button, they might be confused too.
Did they ever answer where they were located?
No, because that I'm sure I triggered them with my privilegesness.
Well, maybe in other parts of the world, they do call it the lock button.
And that's what I said. I was like, I don't know what part of the world you're from.
But, I mean, this app has 10-plus installs, Dor.
I know. Well, it's brand new. The guy literally dropped it on reddit.com/androidapps less than a week ago saying it's brand new.
Last update was September 16th.
Mm-hmm.
To go back to this Huawei phone that I recently got, do all the Huawei's have the ability to take a screenshot by tapping the screen with your knuckle?
There's typically 3 ways for you to take a screenshot. You can either knuckle tap from the notification shades. Sometimes there's a screenshot button there, or you can do the volume and power button.
Yeah, this one you just smack the screen with the knuckle and it takes a picture.
Have you tried to draw from one side of the screen to the other with your knuckle?
I have not.
Because the first time I did it, I thought, I'm really happy I've never done a hallucinogenic in my life. Because a blue, sparkly, like, fuse will go across the screen. And if you go from one side of the screen to the other, it will then split your screen till you can do 2 apps.
Oh, I did that on accident. I don't even know how I did it.
Yeah. I thought I broke the phone the first time I saw it. It literally took me, like, 5 months to figure out, oh, that's a function. But yeah.
And then 2.
Yeah, only works with your knuckle, too. Well, only sense if you do it with your finger, it won't work. If you try it with your knuckle, it will work.
Yes, and then two knuckle tap, or tapping with 2 knuckles will start recording the screen, apparently.
There's a screenshot icon in the system tray at the top. I just use that.
I'm disillusioned, though, because with the Android 10, it says that they have all these motion sensing functions, I suppose, but none of them are even as good as the Moto X that I had prior to the Pixel XL that I just got rid of. I don't understand how they can't do that. I mean, this had you know, shake it and the camera opens, and just useful functionality where it just seems it's kind of like that cartoon you brought last time, Ivor, with the iPhone and the Huawei. And it's, I don't know, it just seems like that. And that phone is what, the Moto X, door, 8 years old, something like that?
At least six, every bit of 6 years old. I got to say, the first OnePlus and the first two Moto X devices had functionality that no phone in 2019 can compete with. And it hasn't been replicated, hasn't been duplicated. Many people have tried to imitate. None of them have came close. I don't know why, except for...
They probably trademarked it, and they wouldn't let anybody else use the trademark.
But then why didn't they? Why didn't Motorola?
Because no one wants to buy the
Why
device.
Didn't... Yeah, they do. Little do you know, they're literally like number four in the world, thanks to South America. Everybody in South America too. Basically has a Motorola. Nobody has a Samsung. Nobody has an iPhone. Nobody has an HTC. Nobody has a Huawei. Nobody has a Xiaomi. Nobody has any of them.
And no one in North America buys them, really.
Only the people that don't know better. Is what I'll say. And the people on like the super budget plans kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a budget phone.
Well, honestly, if they might listen, the only constant is change. If they come out with their phone, their next generation phone that people are teasing, it literally might put them back in the game if that folding phone looks like what it's supposed to look like and act like what it's supposed to act like. That to me could literally put them back in running. Or it could be a huge flop. I don't know.
Speaking of phones, we received another email, which is great. And everyone that's listening should send an email to aaa@podnuts.com. This one is from Julian Overall. It says, hi, door-to-door geek and gang. You asked me, I'm going to try this again. You asked about different phones. Well, my son has recently bought a Cubot Quest, a Chinese phone in a very rugged form factor. Quite simply, he wanted a device perfectly suited to geocaching and one that would withstand a lot of abuse. It runs vanilla Android Pie and seems to be extremely solid for a low, low cost. Naturally, such manufacturers are renowned for not updating their products, but he's careful with what he installs, so it should serve him well for a couple of years as a daily driver. And he has a link to it. And as for me, I'm tempted to go for the Pine phone once it proves itself as a good quality piece of open source friendly hardware. Its specs are rather pedestrian, yet so are my needs, and it'd be great to run Plasma Mobile, UBI ports, etc. on it. Glad to hear the show now has two regular, well-informed co-hosts. Dor, you got new co-hosts? What happened?
You have to ask him, man.
Well informed.
The audio levels could be tightened up a little bit, but otherwise the podcast.
And I do apologize for that.
And you guys talk over each other. Actually, I put that in parenthetically up a bit, but otherwise the podcast is as good as ever. Cheers for now, Julian. Thanks, Julian. We're working on the audio.
I really like the look of that Cubot. It reminds me of the Samsung Galaxy Active. They came out with these exactly the same phones as their Samsung Galaxy, but they slapped a case on it and called it the Samsung Galaxy Active and charged $300 more just for that. It looks great. But the only thing is I'm not so sure about the processor that's in there. It's a MediaTek processor. It probably is quite a competent processor, but you may not be looking at doing some hardcore gaming on it. But otherwise, it's an excellent phone.
I was looking very briefly when I had a minute on Amazon.ca. And they look like they were very reasonably priced phones as well.
Yeah, they came out to just over 200 New Zealand here. So that's a very good price.
That is. For a phone. Yeah. And honestly, like, it's a touch small. 5.5 inch screen to me is almost small. But MediaTek, I'm okay with that as long as they support it correctly. Android 9, I'm fine with that. I don't need 10. There's nothing in 10 I saw that even remotely seemed beneficial. 4 gigs of RAM, fine. That's fine. Yeah, 64 gig ROM, that's more than I got now. And it has NFC and at least IP68, not IP69, but still really decent. And a 4,000 milliamp battery. And the stupidest part that I love, it literally has a customizable exterior button. You tell you what the button to do, and it does it.
Oh, you could turn it into a lock button.
Yes, exactly. Or you could have it launch box.
Do you think you could use a phone that size if you installed a bald phone on it, Dor?
If I have like zoomed glasses, yes. And I got to mention, he mentioned the Pine phone. If you want to know more about the Pine phone, you got to check out Mini PC Show. Here's what I'll say. No, the Pine phone will not prove itself to be a good quality piece of hardware. Okay. Because it can't. It's a $125 phone. Okay. $125 phone. What do you think? It can't be great for $125. You'll be lucky if the thing can go 12 hours on a charge with the screen off for $125. Okay. The gimmick with the Pine company is they make no money. I don't know how they don't live off the streets and eat roadkill, because everything they sell, they basically make no money off of. The Pine phone will be a good hacker's paradise is what it's going to be. So I could see literally buying the Cubot just for my podcast addict endeavors and things like that, and then literally having a Pine phone as my trusted, more secure communication device. I'll say this also, don't expect 5G on the Pine phone anytime soon either. For $125, it's going to be popular. If the Raspberry Pi taught the world anything, is if you sell something cheap enough, people will buy it. Take a look at the Chromecast. It was a ridiculous success. It had nothing to do with the functionality, had nothing to do with how it worked. It had to do with the damn thing was cheap.
Well, if you're looking for an open source phone that you want to give a company that wants to make money, I believe they just started shipping the Librem 5 phones as well.
And I'm pretty sure it's about $1,000.
Yep, looking at it right here, $700.
Yep. So I salute them and say, good riddance. Hope you, Sony, and Apple have a good time hanging out together.
Well, it's got 3 gigs of memory, though.
Well, I know. And here's the thing. I'm going to call them out for liars. They are not completely open source. They cannot be completely open source. They have GPUs inside their device that requires closed source binary blobs. It's not open. If I was hypothetically Ed Snowden or somebody else trying to run away from governments, you cannot trust that device for your own life security. So, you know, if you want to support it, great. Support it. Have fun. But I can't spend that much money on a phone.
Is it running AOSP?
It's running Linux. Yeah.
Purism, so, I believe, is their flavor.
Yeah. So expect a lot less functionality than a Cubot Quest phone.
Well, good. Just going back to the Cubot for a minute. The other thing that has is a 720p screen. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't really tell the difference between a 1080p and a 720p screen. So I don't really think you're losing out on very much there. In fact, you might be gaining battery life.
Oh, you're gaining a lot of battery life. I'm fine with 720p. Yeah.
Yeah, I've never really noticed the difference between the two.
Stardew Valley looks just as good.
All right, guys, we're coming up on an hour and a half. Ivor, do you want to empty your tank?
This is a game called Space Invaders 3D Danger Zone.
Space Invaders, never heard of it.
It's you may have played when you were a young fella. No, this game is basically takes the premise of Space Invaders and turns it into a 3D game. So it brings you down to ground level and has some very good graphics.
Looks like it's $1.29 to buy here in Canada.
Yeah, $1.29. So it's rated 3.7. It's got 10,000 installs. Latest update was August 20th, 2019. Guys, Android 5 and up, rated for 3+. Policy is. But yeah, I played this for a while and it was very good. Reminded me of the old days playing Space Invaders.
Reminds me of J.J. Abrams.
Oh, yeah.
I'm seeing like ridiculous amounts of lens flare.
Yes. Yeah. Well,
like every time there's a lens really flare, that. Like he gets a bonus or something.
Yeah, no, it was very playable, and did remind me of the original. So
very cool.
Quite a clever interpretation.
Is that it?
That's it.
Okay. I know I had at least one or two apps I wanted to bring. I got to bring this just because I'm old and I'm gray, and I did see a good image. It was you know, like the badges, the ribbons. It was a gray ribbon beneath it. It said, "I'm old. Get off my lawn." So I might try to look at getting myself a gray ribbon, especially when I see this game. And I'm seeing it just because I'm old. Minesweeper Pro, Mindware Consulting Inc. Puzzle Game, E for Everyone, 11,200 reviews, $1.49 US to buy, 4.6 average reviews, in the family eligible plan, updated June 3rd, 2019, 6.5 megs in size, 500,000 plus installs, current version 1.2.6, only need 2.3 Android and up, permissions, photos, storage, other. That's pretty basic. And basically all this is literally what looks like Windows 3.1 Minesweeper ported to mobile devices. Yep.
Or as Rob in the chat says, get off my LAN.
Yeah.
That's a nerd joke if I've ever heard one.
Yeah, so I had to bring that one.
That was a great game. I mean, Minesweeper was the creme de la creme back in the day.
Yeah.
I never got into it. I could never play it.
Yeah, yeah. Here's going to be the end of my tank, and it's going to come with a quick message. Cool Tools, COOLTOOLS from KK.org. It's actually a podcast that's been around years, is what I'm going to say. It's pretty good. It's basically about, dare I say, life hacks and people and their tools and their methods for getting stuff done on a day-to-day basis. So it's just like, you know, what do you do to get things done? And this was an app brought by one of the people on the show called No Phone Spam, all one word. It is not available on Google Play. Basically, if you know anything, it's because this kind of does things that Google doesn't like, is what I'm going to say. So it is available to install off of F-Droid. I will say I did install this, and I don't know if it's a cognitive bias thing, but I do think I have now less spam calls than I've had in the past. It's hard to say, is what I say. But I like trying different apps for this just to see the results, and this seems fine, fair, No Phone Spam by don't see a developer name, but it is GPL3, which means it's completely open code. Anybody can look at it, anybody can access it, anybody can download it and modify it as they see fit. So I would say this, it's trustworthy code.
Interesting. I also just subscribed to that podcast as well.
It's good. It's maybe once a week. The creator of the website and his co-host basically just talk to different type of creative types, whether it be a sculptor in this area of the world, a hacker in this part of the world, a maker in a different part of the world, and just what's in your bag kind of talk.
Are they all apps or is it life hacks?
No, it's rarely apps. It's just productivity type tips and tweaks, and I use this bandsaw to cut this, you know, all kinds of off the wall stuff. Basically, I like the fact that every episode I don't know what to expect.
Expect the unexpected.
Yes, the Spanish Inquisition.
Also Kentucky Fried Movie.
Yeah. So do you have any more apps to empty your tank?
No, I'm good, Dor.
Okay, do you have any parting words?
I do. Again, harping on it all of the time, just to be annoying. Send us some feedback, some emails, join the Reddit, join in on the Reddit. And then also check out some other podcasts on the Podnuts Network. Dor's been quite ranty lately and it's been fantastic, especially on Linux for the rest of us. So if you really want to geek out, check that out.
And I'll just say, to check out Podnuts Pro. A really nice guy hosts that show. Ivor, do you have any parting words?
I just want to thank everybody for who sent an email in. Fantastic stuff.
Which I'm not complaining about, Ivor.
Sorry. I just...
complicated.
Right, sorry, yes. Thank you, everybody who emailed us. Really like to hear from you. Tell us what your favorite apps are. Tell us with the apps that you use every day, the games that you play regularly, the stuff that you get the most use out of and the most enjoyment from, and we can share that with everybody else and try them out as well. So don't keep it to yourself. Let us know too.
Yeah, very cool. Julian, Chuck, Aaron, and Scott are the last sets of emails. Thank you guys for all the emails. Thank everyone for their Patreon support. I want to thank everyone for downloading, subscribing, sharing. The best way to help propagate this show is literally just to say to somebody, hey, check out this show. If you want to support Apple and iTunes, go to the iTunes store, give us a review. If you want to support Google, go to Google Play Podcast, give us a review. If you want to support Stitcher, go there, give us a review. Anywhere you download us at is a good place to download us at. And don't forget, AAA@podnuts.com is the email address. 7076podnut is the voicemail address. Or you can record a file on your Android device, even if you want, and send it in via email, and we will get to it. Thank everyone again, and we will talk to everyone again, hopefully, in about a week.
Door. Yes, you'd like me to list the apps?
Oh, goodness. Yes.
We've got Rebe, Flyers, Deals, and Shopping List by Rebe Inc. Flash Food, Grocery Deals by Flash Food. ISS Live Now, Live Earth View and ISS Tracker by VKL Apps. Gina, App Drawer, Sidebar, and Folder Organizer by Mobidum. Craft Beer Passport by Craft Beer Passport Inc. Bald Phone by, sure, Bald Phone. Doofus Drop by Curious Labs. Stick Cricket Live by Stick Sports Limited. Help SOS, Share Your Location When in Danger by Leal Dev, and we don't know where they're out of. Space Invaders 3D Danger Zone by Visual Interaction. Minesweeper Pro by Mindware Consulting Inc. And No Phone Spam by Unknown.
Awesome, man. Thank you very much. Thanks, everyone, again, for coming out to the live show. Again, New York time, 9 p.m. Thursday night is when we do this show. The YouTube chat is the most popular chat. We do have IRC there, too, where I try to hang out in the chat there as well. We will talk to everyone again in about a week.
My name is Jeff Halish. I'm the host of Podnuts Daily, where we interview real people who are working in the computer repair field. I would like to invite you to check out the shows to learn what other computer repair techs are doing. If you would like to be a guest on the show, then contact me at guest@podnuts.com. Podnuts Daily, where it's fun to talk tech.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.